as we listen to Lani's prelude. Thank you, Lani. That was beautiful. Welcome to First Christian Church. We are glad that you are here this morning, whether you are a first-time visitor or a long-time member. Please take a moment to fill out the friendship sheet in the pew. Let us know that you're here and then pass it back to the center. There are a lot of announcements today. I'm going to briefly mention ones that are in your bulletin that aren't having people come up to talk about. So next week, trunk or treat from 2 to 4. We'd love to have you come out and decorate your cars for the kids to come and trick or treat in the parking lot. If you're interested, please call Katie Caldwell or Chanel because spaces are limited. Next Sunday is All Saints Sunday. If you have lost a loved one between November 1st of last year and 31st of this month and would like their name to be read in worship, please contact Kathy in the office. so that we can put them on the list. Michelle Elser is the person to talk to if you're interested in signing up for a night in Bethlehem. That will be held on December 3rd for people to discover what life was like when Jesus was born. Dirtier is my guess. Is that right?
So,
dirtier and louder. I'm not sure louder than me, but anyway. All right. Tom, you yes? No?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we got a bowling team. Every week, someone do good on our bowling team, I'll announce it. Amber did really good. She almost bowled at 201. She threw the ball short. She ended up with a 199 for her first highest game. I think her highest game she ever bowled, Pam? Yes. So I was really happy. She's doing good. So she outbeat me in one game.
Are there women on the pro bowling tour?
Yeah.
They got one girl who may have her show up, Joanne York.
Cool.
The Hope Church, so
she's got another plan if music doesn't work out, I guess, right? She could be a professional bowler. Wanda, you have an announcement?
Good morning. I just wanted to take a brief moment to remind everybody that coming up is our annual Thanksgiving dinner with family and friends here at the church. So November 19th, we will be doing a setup on the 18th. So there is sign-up sheets out on the bulletin board for assistance with setup, assistance with bringing in for the potluck that we all share, many different brackets of food, so whatever fits your fancy. And we will be having our dinner, of course, after church on that Sunday, the 19th. So make sure you bring your friends, your family, your loved ones, and we hope to have a great dinner like we do every year. Thank you.
I tried to convince Wanda to have it during church, but she said something about messing up the pews. And for those who are fixing meals, for those of us who are diabetic or watching carbs, salads would be really good. So, yams and potatoes, you know, not we don't need a whole buffet of those. Let's see, one more before. Okay, wait, I'll remember. Mike. I know. I remembered her.
I just want to remind everybody of the pie contest on next Saturday at 4 o'clock. There's four categories: fruit pies, cream pies, nut pies, and pumpkin pies. We have three judges right now. They're all men. I would really like to have a couple ladies. Oh, there's another one over there saying, pick me, pick me. And there's a young lady back there that's saying pick me also. So you know, I really don't want to leave it up to just the guys just going to decide which pies are the best, because they're not always the best judges, because they don't bake pies, they just eat them.
What better rule?
Well, that's true, you know. Charles is up here saying, you know, pick me, but he can't do it. But anyhow, with all the fun, at 3:30 we're going to start accepting pies. We're going to hopefully start judging at 4 o'clock. Bring your pies, and then on Sunday, after church, we will serve those pies downstairs. You can buy them by the pie with one slice missing, or you can buy them by the slice. And the monies that are raised from having pie dessert after church, the monies will go to the youth groups to be used for scholarships or something in that nature. The fee to enter a pie is $3. And you can enter as many pies as you want. It's just $3 for each pie. And all that cash from that entry fee will be as prizes for first and second place. So two-thirds of the money for your category will go for first prize. The other third will go for second prize. So if we have five pumpkin pies, that's $15. So $10 goes for first prize, $5 goes for second. I think that's it. Ladies, guys, bring your pies. Somebody said, I'm not bringing a pie this year because Rob Canals, he just whips everybody. Well, we fixed that. Rob's going to be a judge.
I'm just concerned that we're going to have signs that say we'll dress in drag for pie. That's just a little concerning. All right. And for our most recent update of the patch, Annette, if you'll come up and let us know how we're doing.
Whoa. I have some surprise numbers for you. I was trying to keep it a secret so nobody knows. Yesterday was our biggest day. Our sales were $3,045.25 just for pumpkins, but overall sales was $3,213.25. It was a great day, and hopefully today will be just as good. Our total sales for just pumpkins is $11,245.50 to date. We got 1 week to make up to that $20,000, which is what our goal is, trying to get there. That was an increase of $7,819 just this week. So it was a great week. I wanted to talk a little bit, I know it was mentioned, about the trunk or treating. We'd like to have the parking lot full. It has been advertised all over town, so we are hoping that we will draw a really big crowd, and so we can get as many of you in here and passing out candy as we can get. I think there's 20 spots open, and the board from the Olivia Caldwell Foundation is coming to fill some of those spots too, and the preschool is too. So we want the church to fill up the rest of the spots. And the grand prize for the spookiest or the best decorated car is movie pass for a family, Pizza Ranch, and one more thing, I can't remember. There's three places that have donated for the prize. So it's a really nice family prize. So come and help us with trunk or treating. Oh, Jump Craze, yeah, it's Jump Craze. So, and the phone number, there's a poster on the door. Looks like this, but bigger. That is has the phone numbers on it. Or you can just call the preschool office too, and we will get your information. Or see me after church, and I'll write you down. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Annette. And again, thank you to the preschool for taking on the pumpkin patch this year. Having worked with that, that's a lot of work. And we appreciate that so much. Now, if you will take time to stand and greet one another. And before you do that, I just have to say, there may be a special person you want to greet. In the front, we have Jean Johnson. It is so good to see you, sweetheart. I'm so glad you're here. So it might be a while, because everybody will probably want to come up and say hi. So you can tell them to go sit back down. We've got to sing, right? So let's stand and greet one another and get ready to sing our opening hymn, Sanctuary number 49 in the Chalice Praise, the Purple Book. Please join me in the call to worship. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Bring offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
Tremble before him, all the earth.
Let us pray. Lord, we come before you trembling, not just with fear, but with awe. For the wonderful things that you do. You are our sanctuary. In you we can find rest and peace in a world that sometimes offers very little. But we know that when we are with you, all is right. We know this because you gave your Son so that we may live. And for that, we have a debt that we can never repay. Unfortunately, we do not have to. And so, with joy and gratitude, we pray the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. If you would, please take out the red chalice hymnal and turn to page 16. We'll sing the first and last verses of Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I'd like to invite the children to come forward this morning for a time of sharing. Good morning. I am so glad you all are here today. You know, when we're in worship, sometimes we sing new songs that were only written a few years ago, and sometimes we sing old songs that were written a long time ago. The song we just sang was written in 1758. That was a long time ago. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? The second verse of the song, we didn't sing, the second verse of the song originally said, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer." Isn't that a funny thing to say? Well, Ebenezer is a really old-fashioned word that means an altar, a place where we praise God. So the people who put together our chalice hymnal, they knew that sometimes even grown-ups don't understand really old words. So they changed it, and it says, "Here I raise to thee an altar." In other words, this is where we come to praise God. One of the ways that we praise God is by bringing our offerings. We bring offerings of ourselves just by being here. We bring offerings of our money when we put our coins and our dollars in the offering tray. We bring offerings of our prayers when we pray together in worship and when we write a prayer card to give to someone who needs to be encouraged. All of those are ways of raising an Ebenezer or raising an altar to God. Hi, Mom and Dad. Thank you for bringing your mom and dad to worship today. I didn't see his daddy here. I saw mom come in. Did dad come today too? Yeah. Yay, the whole family came. We are so glad to have each one of you here for worship, and just your presence is a way to praise God and a way for our church family to praise God even better because you're here with us. Let's pray together. Oh God, here we come to give you our praise, to tell you we love you. Bless your children of all ages, that our joy might bring you joy, O Holy One. In Christ's name, all God's children said, Amen. And you can go sit with your family or go to Worship and Wonder in Sunday school. While our youngest children are headed out of the sanctuary and downstairs, I encourage you to look at the back of your bulletin for a list of our prayer concerns. As we share these, there may be someone that God puts on your heart that you want to write a prayer card to. Please take the card out of the pew rack in front of you and send a note to that person, and then put it in the offering tray later in the service, and the church will make sure that they receive your greetings. Our card shower this morning is for Billy Triplett. Those of you who've been members here for a long time will probably share my surprise in learning that Billy is back in Casper. He's lived in Nevada for several years. He is now nearing the end of his life after battling multiple health issues, and it meant a great deal to Billy to come home to Casper, especially to see his church family. Some of you have already been to Wyoming Medical Center to visit him. Thank you for the time that you've shared with him. Yesterday, Charles and I took communion to Billy, and he shared that he'll be renting a home close to the fairgrounds. His son and daughter-in-law are moving here from Nevada to help take care of him in whatever time he has left on this journey of his final months on earth. Billy is in good spirits. He knows that he is headed to see his Maker, and he's very much at peace with that. He will be having dialysis 3 times a week at the Wyoming Medical Center. Right now, he's in room 520. I know that some of our choir are planning on visiting him this afternoon, so if any of you want to tag along or go see him on your own, you are welcome to. He is so appreciative of visits and your prayers right now. Virginia Braley has asked us to pray for 2 of her sons. Her son Bruce is in treatment for cancer, and so we've added him to our prayer list. And her son Patrick is struggling with addiction, and we want to pray that God will give him courage to live his life as strong and sure as he can. Wanda Hall was hospitalized briefly this week with pneumonia. She has gone back to Mountain View and is doing fairly well. We're thankful that she did not have to stay in the hospital for a long period of time. The missionary we're lifting in prayer today is Becky Owen, who serves in Swaziland. We continue to pray for those affected by hurricanes and wildfires, especially communities in California. Our regional prayer partners today are the members of First Christian Church in Grand Junction. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign and send greetings. Their pastors are Reverend Brad Barton and Reverend Melanie Farron. There are some additions to our list. Terry Morrison is struggling with a broken foot. She and George have a trip planned to California this week for a wedding and time with friends. She is walking with a boot. The doctor wants to see if her foot will fuse and heal. Just being wrapped for the next month. If not, then she'll have to have surgery. So prayers for Terry as she's in pain and needing healing, and prayers for George as they travel together. From First Service, we had a request to pray for Ken Walker, a friend of a member whose wife died last Wednesday. Prayers of sympathy and support for him. And several joys to share. The Heck family is rejoicing. Their daughter Melissa became engaged this week, and we pray for blessings for her as she and her fiance plan a wedding. And Raylan's parents are celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary. What a wonderful role model of dedicated marriage that is. Other joys that you might not know about unless we share them this morning. Yesterday, Paul Halleck and Tom Dowler and I had the privilege of sharing with Mark and Pam Steinle in their home Mark's baptism into the Christian faith. He has been praying about his relationship with the Lord and his faith journey. Early this spring, we had talked about his coming here to be baptized on Sunday morning because of his ongoing long-term battle with pancreatic cancer. That's not been possible because of his struggle with his immune system. And so we made the decision for Mark to be baptized in his own home. It was a joyous celebration yesterday. Mark has stopped receiving chemotherapy treatments. Tomorrow he will start radiation with the hope of shrinking a tumor that is pressing on his spine and causing back pain. So prayers of comfort for him, even as we share the joy of his relationship with Christ and being a part of the body of Christ. The groom's family also has a wonderful joy to share with us. Maggie and Nicholas Grooms would like to announce that their daughter, Mackenzie, is expecting a younger sibling. So prayers of joy for Mackenzie, that she'll get to be a big sister. Prayers for Maggie for a healthy pregnancy. And we share the joy and delight of all of the Grooms family with this wonderful news. Are there other announcements today we want to make? Are there prayer concerns or joys we need to share today? Michelle.
Tyler's dad had a surgery for a brain tumor on Monday, and they got more out than I thought they would. They got 90% of the tumor out, and he's doing physical therapy and stuff and just trying to get back to normal.
We continue to pray for Tyler's dad, Ted Ulcer. We are glad that the surgery was so successful. 90% of the tumor was removed. We continue to pray for his healing. Debbie. Thank you, Debbie, for sharing that update. Both the joy of knowing 13 blankets were made yesterday and for sharing the heartbreaking news of so many youth who are truly struggling, over 200 homeless students in our community alone. Prayers for families who have a hard time caring for especially teenagers, prayers for those teens as they struggle with multiple issues. Are there others today? Lori.
I just wanted to share how thankful I am for everyone's prayers, cards and love from my family in Minnesota as we gathered for the one loss of my nephew, Tony. Prayers especially for my sister, her husband, and her daughter, Lisa, as they, I pray they feel God's loving arms as they struggle with being delivered.
We continue to pray for Lori's family, especially for Tony's parents and sister as they are grieving. Let us turn now to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. Of loving and gracious God, all that we have, all that we are, is but a trust from you. Generous giving God, we thank you for your gifts of grace and strength that sustain us in times of trial. We humbly thank you for forgiving our sins, and pray that you would strengthen us to live better lives closer to your path. Almighty Holy Spirit, we thank you for hearing the prayers that we bring to you, those spoken aloud and those whispered in silence in our hearts. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for interceding when we cannot pray, for praying on our behalf with sighs too deep for words. O loving Lord, we pray for healing for those who are hurting, for hope and help for those who are lost. Thank you, God, for bringing Billy Triplett home to Casper. As he faces his final days or months on this earth, Lord, we know that you will journey with him and surround him with support. We pray for Virginia's family, especially for Bruce and Patrick in their struggles. Oh God, we thank you that Wanda's recovering from pneumonia, and we continue to pray for her strength. Comfort those who grieve, O God, be with Ken Walker and his family. Be with Lori as she continues to mourn for her nephew. And God, we pray for Tony's soul to rest with you in eternal peace. And we pray that your peace that passes all understanding will comfort his parents and his sister as they continue to grapple with this horrific loss. Oh God, we pray for young people who are struggling. We pray for those who struggle with addictions and mental illness. We pray especially for the 200 plus students in our own community who for various reasons are homeless. We pray for teens and even youth younger than that who find themselves booted out from their parents' homes, sleeping in a car or surfing on friends' couches. Oh God, we pray for families that are broken and dysfunctional. We pray for those who have no roof over their head. We pray for those who want help and want to help and don't know where to turn. Oh God, we ask that you would use the Youth Crisis Center in Casper to support young people who are in times of trial and need. Thank you for the blanket ministry, and we pray your blessing upon those blankets made yesterday, that they may comfort those who will receive them. Lord, we thank you that Tyler was able to be with his dad when he had surgery. We continue to pray for Ted's healing. We thank you that almost all of the tumor was removed, and we pray now, O God, that you would watch over him in the days ahead. We continue to pray for Joe Vlastos and others who recover from surgery. We pray for Terry Morrison as she travels with a broken foot. Oh God, what it is a gift to come to you, both in times of trial and in times of triumph, to share with you our fears and failings and also our blessings. Lord, we rejoice with the Heck family, praying with Raylan's parents as they celebrate their 65th anniversary, and praying with Melissa on her engagement. We thank you, God, for the news from the groom's family that another little one will be added to their number. Lord, we pray for a healthy pregnancy for Maggie. We thank you for the love and joy that Maggie and Nicholas share in parenting, for the delight that Mackenzie is to our church family and to her family. Lord, we pray for all of them in the months ahead. We rejoice in Mark Steinle's decision to be baptized, O Christ, into your living presence. We pray your blessing upon his earthly journey, however much time remains for this dear man and his struggle with cancer. We pray for Mark and Pam and give thanks for their trust in you for the gift of eternity. Lord, we ask you to bless Becca Owen and the work she does as a missionary in Swaziland. We pray for Brad and Melanie and their ministry at First Christian in Grand Junction. For all who are called to serve, for all Christians who claim your name, O Christ, we pray your blessing, that your love might shine through our lives to be light in places of darkness, to bring hope and healing to those who need it most. We humbly thank you, O Christ, for hearing and answering when we pray. Amen.
As I mentioned earlier, I have diabetes. Now, if anybody here has diabetes, you probably already know about that journey. I've had it for a few years, but it wasn't until we went to Europe in the spring and I ended up in the hospital that the scales were lifted from my eyes, and I was put on insulin. I had been on oral medication prior to that and have really paid attention to what I eat. I have to measure my blood sugars 4 to 5 times a day, and it's actually doable. You know, I was worried, but it was like, I don't want the hassle of that, but the hassle of losing weight and feeling better is not too bad. But I have to watch what I eat. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And so when I kind of decide what I'm going to do for the day, I really have to try to think ahead. And so yesterday, Cindy had mentioned that the On the Hook food truck, any of you who have done that, the fish truck that comes to town occasionally, was going to be in town. And so we knew we wanted to do that for dinner. Well, fried fish is really not one of the good things to have when you have diabetes. So during the day, I planned ahead. I think I had an omelet for breakfast, or I maybe had yogurt for breakfast and an omelet for lunch. But by the time we went to dinner, my numbers were in a good place that I didn't really have to worry about it. But that's daily. I mean, daily you have to plan ahead on what you're going to do. One of the benefits we have as Christians is that we get to come to this table with no reservations. Not only do we not have to have reservations to go, but we don't have to worry, because we are allowed to partake of the blood and body of Christ just because we believe. What an awesome thing that is, to be able to come to this table weekly and not have to worry about whether we're allowed to be there or what we are bringing. We just get to come. And so this is a gift that we need to not take for granted. Let us sing our hymn of communion number 386, We Come as Guests Invited.
Come as guests invited to Christ's table. All who believe in Jesus, all who long to know God's love, are invited to share in this feast. As we come to share this holy meal, we remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Dear God, today we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to remember the extraordinary sacrifice you made in sending Jesus, your beloved Son, to be with us. We thank you for his legacy in words, actions, and obedience to suffering on the cross. Lord, we come to you now to ask for forgiveness for any thoughts, words, or deeds that have not been honored by your name. We are also truly sorry for the times we have chosen to live selfishly rather than heed your calling. We invite you to inhabit our hearts now as we take communion. As we share this meal, combine us together as one family filled with your love. Amen.
Good morning. What a beautiful day, fall day, with the leaves turning and the blue sky and our churchyard filled with pumpkins. It's such a blessing. We're all so blessed in many ways. This starts the first Sunday for our stewardship drive for our upcoming next budget for next year. And each commission gets to come and explain about what how the function of the church is. So I represent the Worship Commission and the Spiritual Growth Commission. And we're kind of behind the scene. So we do appreciate all our members at First Christian for your generous participation in worship and all our activities and your giving. And because of your generous gifts, we're able to host a lot of activities during the year. We honor the mothers on Mother's Day, the fathers on Father's Day. We do the worship on the mountain and various other potlucks during the year. The deacons and deaconesses are also a part of our commission that hosts communion every week at church, and that's a big job. And they will also be hosting the Thanksgiving dinner coming up and guide us, kind of lead us through the Christmas decorating too on that same night. We also assist Pastor Cynthia in some of the worship activities, and for example, like we'll help with the All Saints Sunday coming up too. First Christian Church is a visible church in our community because of your generosity during the year, of your times, talents, and treasures. Everything we have is a gift of a generous God. So please give prayerful consideration for your giving pledge to the church next for 2018. There was a pledge card that you'll receive in the mail. I forgot to bring it up, but you'll receive it. There'll be some in the pews, and then the bulletins coming up during the next month. So we just gratefully appreciate all your participation. Thank you.
To help us continue all the programming through the rest of 2017, we ask that you give generously as our deacons collect our tithes and offerings. Only you know how best to use the gifts that we give. We ask that you spread this bounty to whoever may need it, whether they be in Casper or through the ends of the earth, knowing that our hearts go with the monies, the time, and the talent that we share. Amen.
Thank you. What was funny?
Am I coming up
no,
here?
No.
Oh.
Nothing to do with you.
Well, I'll be reading from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, and it's chapter 45. You'll find it on page 674 in your Bible there before you. This reads, Cyrus, God's instrument. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who called you by your name. And for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I called you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, the salvation may spring up, and let it cause righteousness to sprout up also. I, the Lord, have created it.
Our New Testament reading today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 15 through 22. In your pew Bible, it's in the New Testament section beginning on page 24. Matthew 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, Whose head is this and whose title? They answered, The emperor's. Then he said to them, Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that spirited number. Becky, thank you for sharing your voice today. Send it on down. Send down the Holy Spirit. Peg, the choir was chuckling because Amber looked at them and said, Send it on down. And they did. Thank you all for singing for us today. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we pray that you will send on down your Holy Spirit, that we might hear anew your word and be blessed with understanding. Grace us now, O God, with your Spirit, that the words of my mouth and the reflections of each of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, O Holy One, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Over the past few Sundays, we have heard together texts chosen by the Revised Common Lectionary. We've heard readings from Isaiah and Matthew each week. Some Sundays, those pairings have had some rather obvious connections, stories about vineyards and stories of feasts. Perhaps this morning's connection between Isaiah and Matthew isn't as obvious, but it is surely there. In Isaiah, we hear of King Cyrus, who is king of the Persians. At this point in history, Persia is getting ready to conquer Babylon. The Israelites, God's chosen people, have been held in captivity in Babylon. It's kind of like the old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. When Persia conquers the Babylonians, for a period of time, the Israelites will be free. They may even get to return to Jerusalem and worship in the temple again. What a blessing, a day of rejoicing that is. In this text that we heard read from Isaiah, God is promising to use Cyrus, a foreign king, to do God's will. God is saying, I can even use someone who doesn't know me to make things happen in the world according to my plan. God's reign is so great that it stretches from the rising of the sun to the western horizon. All that we see is under God's reign. Not just God's own people, but others as well, are part of God's plan. All of creation, all that is, all that will be, all people bear in ourselves the very image of God, the creator of the world. In this point in Matthew's gospel, we are following along with Jesus in the events that unfold during what we now name as Holy Week. Palm Sunday has happened. The beginning of Matthew 21, Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He has thrown a temper tantrum, if you will, thrown a fit at the money changers in the temple. He's overturned their tables. And now he is being addressed by two groups of people who normally don't get along with each other at all. The Pharisees were those who worshipped very strictly according to the Jewish law, believing that only God, as observed by the Ten Commandments and the entire Levitical code, should rule over the world. The Herodians were actually a political party among the Jews who worked in concert with the Roman occupiers. They were in favor of restoring someone from the house of Herod to the seat of emperor, to be Caesar in Rome. It's kind of like you have two groups of people who have completely different ways of getting the same objective accomplished. Someone who thinks following the letter of the law will bring about social justice, and someone who thinks that cooperating with those in political power will lead to a peaceful society. The Herodians and the Pharisees have very different approaches to life, but there's one thing they have in common. Both groups view Jesus as a troublemaker. So it's interesting that their conversation with him begins with such nice flattery. Teacher, they say, we know that you are sincere. You teach the way of God in accordance with truth. You show deference to no one. Can you hear them buttering him up, right before they swing around with a trick question to try to punch Jesus in the gut. You see, their plot is pretty specific. The Herodians and the Pharisees know that no matter how Jesus answers the question, it won't go well for him. They're asking Jesus about paying a particular tax that the Roman occupiers are imposing upon the Jews. They have figured out, if Jesus says, no, you shouldn't pay the tax, just worship God, don't cooperate with the Roman Empire, if that's his response, then the Roman guards are going to seize him and haul him off. He'll be out of their way. On the other hand, if Jesus capitulates and says, yes, you should pay what's due to Caesar, pay the tax, then surely that's guarantee of a civil uprising among his followers who only want to worship God, not the Romans. So you see, the Pharisees and the Herodians are in collusion together to ask Jesus what they think is an airtight trick question. If he says yes, if he says no, either way, he'll be out of their hair. Instead of giving a straightforward yes-no answer to what they think is a closed question, Jesus opens the question itself up and turns it around back to them. Jesus says, "Why are you putting me to the test? Show me the coin used for the tax." A little cultural context at this point. The conversation takes place in the courtyard outside the temple. The Pharisees, who followed every detail of the law, knew by heart the Ten Commandments that says, "Thou shalt have no other God before me, thou shalt have no graven image." That denarius, that Roman coin, had an image stamped on it, a picture of the emperor, a picture of the foreign ruler, a picture of a false god. For in fact, the inscription that identified Caesar said that he was a divine son, the son of a god. Therefore, you see, if a Pharisee had one of those coins in the pocket of his robes, he was actually breaking the Ten Commandments. He was carrying with him a false idol, an image of a false god. Perhaps it's Jesus who's trying to trick his accusers. "Show me the coin," he says. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't turn around automatically and say, "Gotcha, ha ha, you're not supposed to have that in the temple. You're supposed to have already exchanged that for a shekel, a coin only marked with Hebrew inscriptions that was used to pay tithes in the temple for the offering that the Israelites would bring." Jesus doesn't point out the error of their ways. He just asks to see a coin. And someone in that group promptly pulls it out. Jesus then asks them a question: whose head is this and whose title? They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God, the things that are God's." It's almost as if Jesus is saying to them, "Well, whose money is it? Whose name is on it? Who does it belong to? Return it back to the owner." This week I heard a story online told by a Catholic priest about visiting a young family. They had three babies. The family had prayed long and hard that they could become pregnant. They'd had a difficult time, and finally, pregnancy was a blessing they were given. Then the news was shared: "You're not just expecting one child or two, you're going to have triplets. Maggie, we'll be careful how we pray for you." A couple years after that joyous birth, the priest goes for a follow-up visit with this wonderful Irish Catholic family, And here are three redheaded three-year-olds playing on the floor, Shane and Michael and Patrick. They have matching bright red fire engines with lights and sirens that they're pushing back and forth. One of those little toy fire trucks jumps up over another, and the brother grabs it. Shane says to Michael, "That's my fire truck, give it back." Michael says, "No, no, it's mine." The priest finds himself sitting there thinking, "When I was a kid, my brother and I argued all the time over whose toy it was." He kept his mouth shut, and the priest wondered how Mom was going to deal with the situation. As the clamor rose, Shane and Michael scrambled back and forth, scrapping about whose fire truck was whose. Patrick sat quietly off at the side. Finally, the mother cleared her throat. The boys turned and looked at Mom, and she said, "Whose name is on it?" They turned over the fire engine, and there on the bottom, in black permanent magic marker, it said Shane. Michael said to his brother, "It's your toy. Sorry I had it." Shane took it back, and play resumed quietly and peacefully. The priest turned to Mom and said, "I see you figured out how to manage triplets." She said, "Yes, the boys are identical, so we label everything. Every coat, every pair of socks, every toy is marked with their names, and there's never a squabble about whose it is. Whose name is on the fire truck, whose name is on the coin, whose name is on our lives, tells us how we should play, how we should spend, how we should live." It's easy to think at first reading that this is a story about finances and money, about being responsible citizens and paying taxes and remembering to pay our tithes in the church as well. After all, it is the first Sunday of our Fall Stewardship Campaign when we began to think about pledging to support next year's budget here at First Christian Church. But the story is about far more than money. Coins stamped with "In God We Trust" that settle into the bottoms of our pockets. Jesus' question back to his questioners, the Pharisees and the Herodians, echoes to us through the ages. Whose head is this? In the Greek, literally the word is whose image is this? Whose icon is this? Whose image, Jesus is asking, not just is stamped on the coin, but whose image is stamped on the person holding it? When he says, "Render to Caesar, give to the emperor what is the emperor's," and then turns and says, "Give to God what belongs to God," the image of God is born on every human face. Every Christian who claims the name of Christ is marked with the surname of belonging to Jesus. Back in Isaiah, God said to Cyrus, "You don't know me, but I'm going to surname you. I'm going to give you a last name that means you belong to God. You are mine." When Jesus went to the cross and his hands were pierced with the nails, our own names were written there in the palm of his hand. Jesus asks his accusers, and God asks us now, whose image does your life bear? When people look at us, not just how we spend our money, but how we spend our time, the words we speak, the things we do they reflect to whom we belong? Do people know by looking at us that Jesus' name is written on our very soul? It's probably a lot easier to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, paying a tax, turning in a coin, than it is to render to God what belongs to God. Because ultimately, everything that is, everything that will be, is made by the creator of the universe who calls us into the divine family of God's loved and chosen children. God's own image is placed on us. And so when Jesus says, give to God what belongs to God, he's asking for nothing less than our giving ourselves. All that we are belongs to God. Will we hear that word today? Will we live this word this week? Amen. Our hymn of dedication this morning is number 382, We Give Thee But Thine Own. If there is anyone here who longs to have the name of Jesus written on your own heart, we invite you to come forward. If you're looking for a church home, we welcome you here by confession of faith, transfer of membership, or baptism. Let us stand and praise the Lord together. There's a time of fellowship waiting for us downstairs. There's fresh coffee and refreshments for us to enjoy as we share in Christian fellowship with one another. We welcome you this morning to stay and visit for a while. Get to know someone you may not know too well. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we belong to you. Your image is pressed into our very being. This week, as we live each day, as we move in the world that you have made, may our lives bring to you what is already your own, ourselves. Bless your people now with peace as we go forth to love and to serve. In the name of Jesus, amen.